Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Seven things you don't really need to know, but probably should. I'm Ciara Revan, and this is the Sunday Seven.
On today's episode of the Signal Award-winning Sunday Seven, we get inside the brain of Elon's first Neuralink patient, find out why Vladimir Putin wants your sausage roll, dig into the US government's antitrust case against Apple, and meet the new snow leopards at Chester Zoo. But first, on this day in 1861, London's first tram cars began operating. A particularly well-named American, George Francis Train, obtained permission for a route which was about a mile long between Marble Arch and Notting Hill. The trams were horse-drawn carriages whose steel wheels sat into rail tracks laid in the street. Each tram with two horses could pull about 20 passengers, but the service only lasted 6 months because local residents complained about the noise. This week saw a remarkable video hit the internet as the first patient to receive a Neuralink device went public. Noland Arba, a 29-year-old American, was paralyzed from below the shoulder after a diving accident, and he was the first volunteer to receive an implant of Elon Musk's device. Accompanied by a Neuralink engineer, the video showed what happened to be Noland playing chess on a computer using his implant.
So we started out with trying out a few different things. We basically went from what we call kind of differentiating like imagined movement versus attempted movement. So a lot of what we started out with was attempting to move. So I would attempt to move, say, my right hand, left, right, forward. And from there, I think it just became intuitive for me to start imagining the cursor moving. It was like using the force on the cursor, and I could get it to move wherever I wanted, just stare somewhere in the screen and it would move where I wanted it to, which was such a wild experience.
There's been some skepticism about Neuralink, and the former director for neural engineering at the US National Institutes of Health, Kip Ludwig, says what we've seen so far doesn't qualify as a breakthrough. Even Noland acknowledges that there's still work to be done and that things haven't been perfect, but he was delighted that he's able to play his favorite computer game again, for example.
One of the first times y'all gave me complete control over this, I actually stayed up until, like 6 a.m. playing Civilization VI. It was worth it, I guess is the best way to put it. It was awesome. I had basically given up on playing that game just because of how, it's a big game, and the amount of time that it takes to sit in on it is, it's just a lot, and I have to worry about a lot of things, getting pressure sores and things like that. So I just wasn't really able to play it as much as I wanted to, and y'all gave me the ability to do that again, and I played it for, 8 hours that day.
Sky News Sciences correspondent Thomas Moore says the video is quite something and demonstrates real potential.
I mean, it's quite amazing to see Noland using the computer chip, and he's had it implanted in January and is really getting to know it very well. He says at first it was a learning process, but now he just looks at the screen on his laptop where he wants the cursor to go, and there it goes. It is through the power of thought. And it's because this brain chip is reading the brain signals, the 86 billion neurons in his brain, and some of those are to do with movement. And the chip sits on top of those, reads those signals, and sends them wirelessly to a device attached to the laptop itself. So in a way, it is just the way that we learn to move when we are babies, but is now being replicated through technology. Incredible to watch.
Neuralink's founder Elon Musk has even bigger dreams for the technology, though, as he explained to Joe Rogan on a smoke-filled podcast.
If you've got some version 10 Neuralink, whatever, far in the future, you could recall everything, but just like it's a movie, including all the entire sensory experience,
emotions,
everything, and play it back.
Do you think you'd be able to edit it?
Yeah.
So you can change your past.
You could change what you think was your past. Yeah.
So if you had like a traumatic
this whole thing
experience
right now, could be a replayed memory.
It's been a fascinating week for big tech, with yet more legal letters flying around the place. Apple got hit with an antitrust case on Thursday, which saw the US government alleging that the Cupertino company has deliberately sought to prevent competition by restricting access to its software and hardware. We're going to look at the Apple issue in greater detail next. But first, let's check in with the Smart 7's tech guru, Will Guyot. Will, how serious is this case for Apple?
It's hard to know where to begin with this case. In short, did Apple get successful because it made great products or because it stopped others from being able to compete? And it seems like the US Department of Justice are going to try and answer this. On the surface, Apple sold 73% of all phones sold across the US in the last 3 months of last year, while Samsung sold 25%. That leaves just 2% for everyone else, and likely shows why companies like Amazon, Dell, or Microsoft just aren't in the market when it comes to smartphones. It's a sprawling 88-page complaint where Apple is accused of adopting a series of shape-shifting rules to stop others in the smartphone market. Apple got hit with a £1.5 billion fine by the EU last month for breaking competition laws over music streaming, but with the company now valued at $2.6 trillion, it looks like it's time to lawyer up for a bumpy road ahead.
It's been a weird tech week, hasn't it? Why does Vladimir Putin want to stop us getting sausage rolls from Greggs?
Four separate tech issues at major food retailers this week have led to a number of people wondering what's going on. And without further information, it's actually really hard to tell, because to us, the outsiders, a cyber attack and a failed software update look and behave almost identically, because you still can't get your Greggs steak bake. Like McDonald's and Sainsbury's before Greggs, the company took to the internet saying that a third-party software issue related to payments had caused the problem.
Seriously though, there have been a number of IT outages affecting Tesco and Sainsbury's, amongst others. Is there something serious going on in terms of cybersecurity?
We can only go on what we're being told by those affected in situations like this. The retailers were quick to say it was down to a part of their systems that were supplied by another organisation. But the biggest challenge is that there have been instances before where what looked like a software issue actually turned out to be a hack taking place elsewhere in a system, while other companies have been criticised for waiting for months before confirming that the customer data has been stolen. But for now, this looks like a weird coincidence and not Moscow coming for your Big Mac.
And finally, we all thought Formula One was the ultimate high-tech sport, but it turns out that it's really just working off an Excel spreadsheet. Is that right? What happened at Williams?
Back in the day, Williams were an incredible F1 team, and they've slipped down the rankings over the last 20 or so years. And some, even those in the team, believe one of the reasons for this decline is that they were using some kind of mega Excel spreadsheet to document around the 20,000 parts that they used to make each car. Williams' new team principal said in an interview that it was almost impossible to use, and suggested that to build a front wing for the car, they needed to find 400 separate parts in the spreadsheet that were spread across numbers of different warehouses around the world. The team also admitted its Excel database caused them to turn up late to pre-season testing in 2019. And under this new team principal and tech director, Williams say they're now doing a comprehensive upgrade of their technology base. I wonder if there's still a cassette deck in an F1 car.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, more on the US government case against Apple and bad news for Americans as the World Happiness Index is published. We spoke with Will Guyot about the giant antitrust case which the US Justice Department of Justice, along with 15 states and the District of Columbia, filed against Apple on Thursday. The case gets right to the heart of Apple's technology, focusing on its iMessage service and how devices like the iPhone and Apple Watch communicate with each other. It accuses Apple of acting illegally to maintain a monopoly position in the smartphone market, as US Attorney General Merrick Garland explained at a press conference to announce the lawsuit.
Over the last two decades, Apple has become one of the most valuable public companies in the world. Today, its net income exceeds the individual gross domestic product of more than 100 countries. That is in large part due to the success of the iPhone, Apple's signature smartphone product. For over a decade, iPhone sales have made up a majority of Apple's annual revenue. Today, Apple's share of the U.S. performance smartphone market exceeds 70%. And its share of the entire U.S. smartphone market exceeds 65%. Apple charges as much as nearly $1,600 for an iPhone. But as our complaint alleges, Apple has maintained monopoly power in the smartphone market not simply by staying ahead of the competition on the merits, but by violating federal antitrust law. Consumers should not have to pay higher prices because companies break the law. And as outlined in our complaint, we allege that Apple has consolidated its monopoly power not by making its own products better, but by making other products worse.
U.S. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco says the U.S. government believes it's essential that all companies, however large, are held to the same standards.
Today, the department alleges that Apple, one of the world's largest tech companies, crossed the line from rigorous competition to anti-competitive exclusion, unlawfully maintaining a monopoly in violation of the Sherman Act. The complaint makes clear that for years, Apple has tightened its grip on the smartphone market. It has done so not through product improvements, but by maintaining a chokehold on competition, locking its customers in to the iPhone while locking its competitors out of the market.
Apple has rejected the allegations in the lawsuit, saying it threatens the company's core operations and that it could hinder Apple's ability to make the kind of tech consumers expect from Apple. They've already agreed to make messaging easier between iMessage and Android phones following complaints from Google. Apple are also facing a 1.8 billion euro fine in Europe for anti-competitive practices around Apple Music and their attempts to choke off competition from Spotify. But as CNN's senior justice correspondent Evan Perez points out, the Europeans have been slower to launch this kind of massive lawsuit, but that Apple have been forced to respond to pressure on things like charger cables.
The EU essentially ordered Apple and everybody to get on the same page about the chargers because we didn't want to have to carry multiple types of chargers, right? And everybody complained about it, but eventually they did it, and now we're all benefiting from that change.
When you go to your happy place, where is it? Well, a new World Happiness Index was published this week and it reveals that if you want to be really, really happy, you should be heading to Finland. The Gallup World Poll asked respondents in a wide range of countries to evaluate how happy their life is on a scale of 0 to 10. The report was first launched in 2012 and is part of the United Nations efforts to meet and measure progress towards their sustainable development goals. Scandinavian nations hold the top three spots with Finland, Denmark and Iceland, while Ireland sits at number 17 and the UK at number 20. America has dropped out of the top 20 altogether and now sits at number 23, just behind the UAE but ahead of Germany. Analysis suggests that it's poor scores from the younger generation that is dragging down the averages and pushing the US out of the top 20 for the first time ever. These young Americans in Miami and Chicago certainly didn't sound too thrilled to speak to Reuters.
Well, I think inflation has, you know, made a lot of people struggle more, so that can be true, but I don't know. A lot of people want to come here, so I don't think it's too unhappy. That's how I look at it.
I don't think we're to blame so much as the system's kind of coming to a natural conclusion, and we're ending up with a lot less of the opportunities than the previous generations had, so we're going to be a little less happier. I find happiness through work and reaching self-actualization and learning, more so than material things, but that can't be said for a lot of people in the U.S. So me not having things is like a temporary setback, more so than like what I base my happiness on.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, all aboard London's new electric train and alarming new research on vaping.
Right after this.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back.
The streets of London may gradually be filling with near-silent electric and hybrid cars, but it's been more of a struggle to turn public transport green. The Tube runs off mains electricity, while buses and trains tend to use diesel, although some cleaner, greener options have been developed. But now London is getting ready to take a big leap forward with battery-powered trains. And before you ask, yes, they are full-size trains, not just a glorified train set in someone's basement. The initial trial is taking place between West Ealing and Greenford and involves a fast-charging battery-powered train. The plan is to avoid having to install more electricity lines across the landscape, and BBC London's Tom Edwards got a chance to try the new service out.
At West Ealing, a trial of a fast-charging battery train. It means you don't have to build new power lines or have a diesel engine.
The one thing you notice about these battery-powered trains is they are a lot quieter than normal trains. These are actually converted district line carriages, and passengers should be able to get on this one probably by the autumn.
The train charges in 3.5 minutes at West Ealing. GWR hopes it could be used on branch lines.
The Tobacco and Vapours Bill was introduced to Parliament this week. It aims to gradually ban smoking altogether by using a rolling age limit, which means that children who are 15 years old or under will never be able to buy cigarettes. The bill also looks to tackle children's use of vapes, which will see a crackdown on disposable vapes, along with new rules on flavours and colourful packaging. The new legislation comes as research released this week suggests that people who vape experience the same changes in their DNA that those who do smoke. The changes measured in cheek cells are comparable to those seen in smokers who develop lung cancer. That's a concerning new development and appears to contradict the previous government position that it was healthier to vape than to smoke. Dr. Chris Van Tulken spoke to Times Radio and says it's all about relative risk.
So the trouble is, it is better to vape than smoke, but it's better to smoke tobacco than to smoke crack, and it's better to smoke crack than it is to smoke methamphetamine. It's better to smoke meth than it is to smoke some of the new derivatives of fentanyl. So where do you stop? Something is always better than something else. There's always something worse. The problem is that vaping is heavily supported and funded by big tobacco, and they only do that for one reason, because it helps them make money. So the harms of vaping cannot be disassociated from the harms of tobacco, which we know is extremely dangerous. So when you look at the research that is not funded by big tobacco, and you remove all the campaigning from big tobacco that's pro-vaping, what you're left with is reasonable evidence, including a very new study out looking at cheek cells and pre-cancerous changes which suggest that vaping would lead to cheek cells. You have evidence that vaping leads people into smoking. And so I would say, for a variety of reasons, we can be pretty confident that vaping is not good. The NHS peculiarly is quite pro-vaping.
Yeah.
But we know that some NHS doctors have taken money to lead kind of vaping education courses for doctors. So tobacco money is everywhere. They've got a lot of money. But vaping suits big tobacco's agenda. So for that reason, I'm very, very, very hesitant about it.
The University College London study looked at a sample of 4,000 people, and the data showed that cells in the mouths of smokers and vapors were substantially altered. Health Minister Maria Caulfield says the research is still not conclusive, but the government is still sticking with the current advice until further research is carried out.
Our mantra has always been, if you don't smoke, don't vape, and children should never vape. Because we're being honest with people that no one knows the long-term effects of vaping. This study that's come forward obviously shows that it does make similar cell changes. What we're not sure is what happens then in terms of a disease progression in things like cancer and heart disease. But obviously we're monitoring that extremely closely.
If you're making plans for Easter, you might want to pencil a visit in to Chester Zoo. They've just announced a huge milestone in their 93-year history as they welcomed a pair of snow leopards to their collection. The two, a male named Yashin and a female named Zubra, arrived from different European zoos after being carefully matched and are intended to be part of a breeding program. Director of Animal and Plants Mike Jordan says they're a wonderful sight.
Well, it's a really exciting day for us because we've got a new young pair of snow leopards into the zoo. We really haven't had such a threatened and such an iconic species like this for many, many years here at the zoo. So the two have joined us, young male, young female, both just under 2 years old, and really are going to be the foundation of our breeding program moving forwards here. So it's really exciting for us and exciting for our public and visitors who can get here to see them.
Their new custom-built enclosure required 600 tonnes of rocks and gravel to make it look convincingly like their normal Himalayan habitat. But Mike says now that work is done, things should actually be relatively straightforward.
Once they settle down, they themselves are not too difficult a species to look after. Their needs are fairly simple. They're very hardy. I mean, where they come from in Central Asia, they're used to the most extreme and inclement of weather. So settling them down, feeding them and so on, and the daily care is not too complicated compared to some animals we work with here. But actually the habitat we've built for them will help that tremendously, because it's a superb habitat that we've created for them here at Chester Zoo.
This has been the Sunday 7. Wherever you're listening, do us a favour and hit the follow button. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. with the regular Smart 7. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Written, produced and published by Daph Doris.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.